He asked what the hardest part of the writing was for me. Well, it's a very difficult question because it's often very hard for me to write, and I can give a almost a sociological explanation of it, because my writing is very much disturbed by all the other activities that I have to do. I have a job, and I have a family, and all these things which in themselves are very important to me, but just for writing it's not very good to have a big job and a family you really want to be with and so on. This is a practical problem for me, just to come into a situation where I feel that I can write without being disturbed. That happens in the summer often when I'm on vacation and so on. I need some margin to sit down and concentrate. And in my job, for instance, the language I use there, I'm a psychologist and I have to write reports about people and so on. The language there is absolutely eating up the poetical language inside me. I can feel that. So what I need to write, it is a place where I can just concentrate on it. And that's the most difficult for me, to arrange it that way. But at the same time, I know many writers who can handle these things very well. So I think there must be a deeper explanation to the whole thing. It probably has to do with, in order to write, I must have a feeling that this is very important. This is something I can do something for, some creative thing for mankind or so. I think it's some morality involved in the whole thing. I must have this feeling, it belongs to my inspiration, that this is very important. And I seldom get that feeling. I often find that I have a sort of, well, attitude to the whole thing, which as if I were excusing myself all the time, apologizing for writing. That sounds strange to you, because now I have been here in America for some time doing readings and so on and so on, but this feeling is still there somewhere, you know. I don't know. You will understand that, I think. We talked about it.
Do you have a lot of new friends that feel the same way?
I don't know. No, yeah, probably, maybe. The problem is also, of course, that I'm too critical. Often this self-criticism starts just when the poem is on its way, and this is deadly. So I often, a good thing is if I could start a very serious poem in a very playful way, as if it were not meant to be something serious. And then I can double-cross this whole inhibition a little, so I can the poem can come forward quite a bit until I suddenly realize, this is serious, and then it might be too late for the inhibition at that time. For instance, this prose poem about Funchal, about my visit to this Portuguese place. It starts like a play with this visit to the fish restaurant and so on, which was just something I noted down as a memory of a fantastic day. But the poem is very serious. It became serious until I. It became serious, and but it was already so much written, so it had to go on. You see. I have not found that these inhibitions are less because of these translations, because of certain fame and so on. On the contrary, it was in a way more easy 15 years ago to write. Does this make any sense to you? Because I'm not speaking about technical things, which are not the real problems in writing, I think. I think the real problems are somewhere deep inside, psychological things. I have to think it over, but you could tell your most important event for to warm me up a little. In childhood, everything is very important. Because what you experience between the first year of your life and until you become 18 or so is it's impossible to make a sort of list of where one thing is definitely more important than another thing. I have described one important thing was the death of my grandmother, probably, which I described in this poem, but I don't think it was the most important thing. What's important is not a particular event, but the surroundings you live in, the continuous things, you know. That's the important. That's more important than the events themselves. Your relationships, and so on.
I don't want to be too confessional. I could tell you things. Please. Yes, I the four
translators that have made many translations of me, as Robert Blimey, Svensson, Fulton, and Charters. I know them personally all, and I have collaborated with them. And I think that's very important. Because no one of them knows Swedish extremely well. Bly, for instance, knows Norwegian, which is similar, but not Swedish. And Bly and I were working together. He was on my island, and we were sitting for 2 weeks doing translations and discussing together and so on. So that's the right way to do translation, I think. When you do it by correspondence, it is so taxing to sit there and write long, long, long letters, which you could explain a certain thing very easily if you were sitting next to the fellow. You have to sit on the same bench and with a translator, and the best thing is if the translator is in the same place as the poem takes place, right? Which happened with this Sam Charters, for instance. The Baltics is very much in the archipelago, and he was there, and he knew the surroundings very well, and how he would translate a certain thing. It was not a question about dictionaries. We just went to the place, and I pointed it out and said, that's the word. So he could see what it was he was going to translate. That's the ideal situation for a translation, I think. I translated a poem of his the other day, or was yesterday, and I was in the desert. Almost. I mean, this is... I think it's necessary for translators to travel a little.
Is there a place in this country that you would identify with strongly?
What do you say? Is a place in this country
that you identify with strongly, say, for instance, the desert or a type of country or?
Well, it's very strange sometimes that I was in Virginia 10 days ago in the country, and the strange thing was that it was very much like Sweden in a way, but at the same time completely unlike Sweden. So the first impression I got from the landscape was that this is like home, but when I looked closer, there was nothing to recognize. Everything was different. And that's very disturbing in a way, because it makes you feel like a dead person who returns to his old surroundings, and everything is different, but everything is the same. In a strange way, I found that the South around Atlanta was in a way more like Sweden. I was very surprised by this. I can't explain it. Probably New Hampshire would be like Sweden. I have never been there. This desert is so different, so I feel very relaxed here, because there is no ambition to try to make it like Sweden, but something that is similar is the feeling you get of being a solitary figure in a landscape, which is very important experience, and which is probably the basic position for me as a poet. And that's a situation you always are in here when you move out from the city. Then, of course, I find certain parts of New York very fascinating. So I love certain parts of New York, because I have lived there for, maybe 3 weeks on different occasions. So this city is very... parts of it I hate, but parts of it I love. So I can identify with certain parts of New York. Yes, the same question I got from a class here studying Scandinavian literature. Who are there any from this class here? No one. So I can repeat what I answered them. Because my job is very important for me, it goes into the writing some way or another, but I don't know if it can be detected. It's one poem of mine, an earlier one, who is really where the whole scene is directly taken from a situation in my job. And I might read it now. But there are many other poems where the there are parts of my job are sneaking in. I have one very gloomy thing called night duty, which is partly about my position as a thinking and writing person in the late 1960s in Sweden, but partly also is a sort of, it borrows a lot from my time as a psychologist in a prison. I was psychologist in a youth prison for some time, and these experiences are very important because they have made me, they had changed some of my ideas about what society is like and what people are like. But also I think the surroundings there sneak into the poems from that time very much. Well, but I read this poem from my job, from 1957. At that time I was very newly licensed psychologist, and I was not experienced at all. I was working in in an office connected with the Stockholm University, and we made tests. We tested the people with for different reasons, and he was one day it was a 20-year-old boy with he was epileptic, and he had a fit just before, and when he was on his way to our testing, and he broke his jaw, so had a bandage, and I was probably nervous about the whole situation. I was quite new, and I didn't know what to do with a person who has an epileptic fit in front of you. So this tension is probably in this poem very much. Well, he was sitting in front of me, and behind him was a reproduction of a Van Gogh painting. And this is the poem. After the attack, the sick boy, locked in a vision, with tongue stiff as a horn. He sits with his back toward a painting of a wheat field. The bandage around his jaw reminds one of an embalming. His spectacles are thick as a diver's. Nothing has any answer and is sudden as a telephone ringing in the night. But a painting there, it's a landscape that makes one feel peaceful. Even though the wheat is a golden storm. Blue, fiery blue sky and driving clouds. Beneath, in the yellow waves, some white shirts are sailing, threshers. They cast no shadow. At the far end of the field, a man seems to be looking this way. A broad hat leaves his face in shadow. He seems to look at the dark shape in the room here, as though to help. Gradually the painting begins to stretch and open behind the boy who is sick and sunk in himself. It throws sparks and makes noise. Every wheat head throws off light as if to wake him up. The other man in the wheat makes a sign. He has come nearer. No one notices.
Yes. This is you can also see that the part in the poem I read, the Baltics, the part about the Russian composer, his stroke and the this is something I met in my work. I've been working very much with traffic accident victims, and
and I was interested in, I've been interested in brain injuries, and I met the description of his case, I met in a Soviet scholar paper by the Russian brain specialist Luria, and it was reprinted in a Journal of Neuropathology or something here in America. Well, so it, the job comes in different places in the writing. It's both giving and taking, this job. Might be time to go to sleep now. It's in the night, according to the newspaper, isn't it? 3 o'clock. Thank you.